The faith of Jacob, lesson six. The faith of Jacob. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. There's a tremendous emphasis in the Bible on finishing this earthly journey strong. Finishing strong. In Hebrews 11:21, here, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, bless both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. Here, Jacob, an old man, next to death, death being very near, still worshiping God, honoring God in his life, still with a vision of what God wanted him to do and what God was going to do through his seed in the future. Never lost that, never wavered from it, had faith, and as he died, his faith never wavered. In Psalm 37, turn with me to Psalm 37. And verses 35 through 37. Psalm 37, 35 through 37. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yet I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The end of that man is peace. The end of the perfect man is peace. The end of the earthly man, though he might have seemed very great, yet his end was gone, was nowhere to be seen. As we consider Hebrews 11:21 and Psalm 37:37, which is marked the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. All mankind today is looking, mankind is looking for peace. Everybody wants to have peace. I mean, they want to have an easy life that's not hard, not a lot of confrontation, want peace. Peace can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14:27, we read, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let not your heart be troubled. We have peace. Our peace comes from who? Comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our peace comes from. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. The end of that man is peace. Peace comes only from the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from amassing great wealth. It doesn't come from a beautiful home, a nice car. It doesn't come from any of that. Peace only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. The upright man is one who is living with the ruling presence of Jesus Christ daily in his life. Daily. Daily understanding. Daily being aware of Christ's presence in our life. That's where peace comes from. Being very aware of the ruling presence of Christ. The end of that man is peace. What a wonderful promise that the end is peace. The end of living this Christian life is peace. We need to become strong in the Lord in our inner man. We need to seek God's blessing upon our lives, His provisions for our and His provisions for our pilgrimage. We have every confidence that when we meet the Lord at the end, we will have victory by faith. This hope have we. This promise have we. This promise that was delivered to us, this promise that each of us sitting in this room here today, I'm sure that we believe with all of our heart. There's no doubt in my mind when this earth, when I'm done on this earth, that I'm going to be with my Lord. There's no doubt. That's not just something that I hope for. That's something that I know from God's word and through God's spirit. That's something that I know. I know what lay ahead. I know what's ahead. How do I know? Because God's word tells us so. How do we know? Second page in your lesson, Jacob recognized God's presence. Jacob recognized God's presence. I'm sorry. By faith, Jacob recognized God's presence in his life. All of life's journeys that we will be dealing with this, discerning God's presence and knowing God's work as opposed to man's work. Throughout our life, each day, we think, okay, what is God's will for my life today? Lord, what is it that you want? And then we try to discern that, and God gives us that discerning power between what do I want as man? What do I want? Discerning God's will. Jacob recognized God's presence and discerned God's will. We must recognize the Lord's hands in all things. We must look for what the Lord would have us to do and recognize that. Jacob was a man who faced many disappointments. Jacob declared in Genesis 42:36, all these things are against me. What were those things that were against him? First of all, Joseph had been taken. Joseph was gone. Gone. Then, who was it? Benjamin was there in captivity as they came back for more food. No, Benjamin's the youngest. One of the other brothers had been kept, right? And Benjamin's the youngest, right? Am I mixing up names here? And then when they said, we're going to have to take Benjamin back with us, and Jacob's going, no. No, I lost Joseph a long time ago. And if you take Benjamin now, that'll be three. I can't take that. All these things are against me, Jacob said. All this is against me. To him, it was a hard day. He didn't know how close he was to the blessing of God, did he? Did not know how close he was to the blessing of God. Because when Joseph revealed himself, what did he do? He brought everybody with him. He brought everybody into Egypt. They were all going to have the best of the land. They weren't going to have to worry about food and water as everybody else was having to worry about. They weren't going to have to worry about that. Jacob had no idea how close he was to God's blessing. In our lives, a lot of times, it seems like things are far away and they're hard. But God is there. God is close. God's blessing is there. As we read the Bible, we learn that God appeared to Jacob five times. Every time God appeared to him, it was for correction. In my life, what do I need the Lord to do? I need the Lord to reveal me, reveal my sin, reveal where I'm coming up short. That's what I need. That's what Jacob needed. God to show him and correct him. Turn with me to Genesis 48. Genesis 48 and verse 16. As we consider the faith of Jacob, Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter. Today, considering Jacob's faith, Jacob realized, first of all, he recognized the presence of God. In Genesis 48 and verse 16, the angels which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. The angel which redeemed me from all evil. Who appeared to him? He stands on the threshold of eternity. Looking back across his life, he says, now I see who it was. I see who it was. It was God. It was God. As he looked back, he realized. Afterward, he looked back and realized. If you and I could just each day recognize the presence of God, how much easier our life would be. How much easier the directions that we're given would be if we recognize the presence of God. Jacob recognized the presence of the Lord. He said, now I see that it was God. It was God that appeared to me. It was God that redeemed me. And it was God that delivered me. Jacob realized. We need to realize those things. Every time there is something disastrous in my life, God intervened. I can look back in my life, and I dare say you can. I can look at places in my life where the path I was heading was destruction. And yet God intervened, and God intervened. And I don't know why we don't seem to learn, and then we're heading down a path, and then the Lord intervenes. Thank the Lord for those great intervention times in our lives. Thank the Lord. We praise God for that great intervention. By faith, Jacob recognized the presence of God. He recognized God's presence. Secondly, Jacob rested in God's promise. He rested in God's promise. God made a promise, and Jacob knew that God would keep his promise. The promise, of course, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promise of the seed. The promise of the seed. The promise of the coming Messiah. The promise that in thee shall the nations of the earth be blessed. Jacob rested in God's promise. Jacob knew the promise, was well aware of the promise, and he rested in that promise. Notice in Genesis 47, and verse 27, Genesis 47 and verse 27. And Israel, which is of course Jacob, and Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and they grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put I pray thee thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. Bury me not here in Egypt. God's using Egypt right now to feed us and all that, but don't bury me here. Bury me in God's chosen land. Bury me with Abraham. Bury me in God's land. But I will lie with my fathers, verse 30. And thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me, and he swear unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Is Israel getting older? Knowing that God's promise, there was no doubt in his mind that God was going to achieve his will. Made Joseph his son promise him that you'd carry me out of here when I die. Don't bury me in Egypt. Don't bury me in the world. God has a place for us as Christians, a promised land. He has that for us. Jacob said, don't bury me here. And of course, we know that Joseph honored his father's wish. He said, I'll take care of that for you. And Joseph certainly had the wherewithal to do that, didn't he? Because he was second highest in the land under the Pharaoh. Jacob rested in God's promise. Jacob gave instruction that when he died, they were not to bury him in Egypt. He knew God was going to bring them out of Egypt. And God did. When they left Egypt, what did they leave with? Everything. Everything. They took it all. They borrowed gold from the neighbors. They got gold and silver from everybody around them. They took it all. God led them out mightily out of Egypt. And then as Egypt pursued them, God destroyed the Egyptians in the water. God did bring them out. He brought them out mightily. He brought them out, the scripture says, with a strong hand. What a blessing. They were there a long time. They had been abused by the Egyptians, and yet God did bring them out. Jacob rested in God's promise. In Genesis 48 and verse 14, Genesis 48 and verse 14, and Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. As Israel getting ready to die here, the report comes to Joseph, it looks like your dad's days are ending. Joseph grabs his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he heads over to Dad. And here we see the blessing again. As last week, the blessing not going to go to the oldest again. Although that was traditional, it wasn't going to happen. And here the old man puts his hands out. And Joseph had very conveniently lined up those sons so that the right hand of Dad would hit the eldest and the left hand of Dad would hit the next born. And yet, Jacob knew, Israel knew, that God had a plan. And when Israel reached out, he crossed his hands. And Joseph said, "Not so, my father. What are you doing?" "Oh, no," he said, "God has a plan. God has a plan for both of them. But this is God's plan." And he reached out. And the blessing did not go to the firstborn because that's not what God had at this time. What a blessing that man was right with the Lord. And when he went to put that blessing out, he didn't reach out just like that. He crossed his hands. He knew God had a plan. He knew what God's plan was, and he was going to do his part in carrying that plan out. Ephraim receiving the blessing of the firstborn. Joseph positioned his son so that the right hand of Jacob would be placed on his eldest son and the left hand would be placed on the younger son. We find that amazing thing happened, and this was a great challenge to the faith of Jacob. He crossed his hands so that his right hand was placed on the younger Ephraim and his left hand was placed on the firstborn, Manasseh. God revealed to Jacob and Ephraim that Ephraim would be the dominant tribe. As Jacob was dying, he was resting in the promise of God. He knew God was going to keep his word. There was no doubt in his mind that God was going to do it. God was going to do it. Then thirdly, Jacob received God's peace. Jacob received God's peace. You and I, as Christians, have eternal life. We have eternal life. That ought to bring us peace. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We're not like those, the scripture says, that have no hope. They're without hope. We're not that way. We know what tomorrow is. We know where eternity is and who's in charge of eternity. That's peace. Jacob received God's peace. We need to receive God's peace. What a wonderful promise that you and I have eternal life. Peace. Again, Psalm 37:37, the end of that man is peace. Have you heard the song, "Peace in the Midst of a Storm"? Have you heard that song? peace in the midst of my storm. As Christians, things hard come into our lives. What's the first thing we pray for? Lord, take it away. Just take it away. Sometimes the Lord says, no, I've got something in this for you. There's something in this for you. And God will give you peace in the midst of that storm. He will give you peace in the midst of that storm. Turn with me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. God will give us peace in the midst of our storms. We know that he said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Psalm 107 and verse 23. Psalm 107 and verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depth. Their soul is melted because of the trouble. I imagine being on a sea and having the ship come up in these big angry waves and go way back down, and you're looking around thinking, this is not good. We could easily die right here. Verse 27, they reel to and fro, staggering like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. It's all over. We're going to perish. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Peace. God will give us peace in the midst of our storm. He will. Storms will come. Man's days are short and hard, the scripture says. Full of trouble are man's days. Storms will come. God will give us peace. Where do we get that peace from? His Spirit, his Word. That's where we get the peace from. We get the peace as in the morning we wake up and we open God's Word. In the morning we wake up and the first thing that hits our minds is our memory verse that we're working on. Because we were working on it the day before. We went to bed, we woke up, and that verse is there. God's Word is there. And that peace comes through God's Word. You have an appointment with death, but I want you to know something. That the Lord Jesus has already met death and conquered it. Turn me to Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18. What a verse. I know I say that about a lot of verses in the Bible. What a verse. Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. The Lord Jesus Christ conquered death personally. He died, he laid down his life, and then he raised back up by his own power. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Romans 1:18, what a truth. That'd be a good verse to memorize. And I know there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of good verses to memorize, but that'd be a good verse to memorize. Why? Because Jesus Christ conquered death. Death no longer has its sting. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? They are gone. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ had victory over him. And he has now the keys of death and hell. When Jacob was dying, he leaned on the top of his staff, blessing the sons of Joseph. We should talk often about the coming of our Lord. Don't be afraid to say praise the Lord in front of people at work. What do you mean, praise the Lord? Well, thank the Lord. Something, you know, whatever just happened, just happened. Thank the Lord. And maybe get their minds going there. Oh, yeah. Don't be afraid to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord amongst ourselves. Praise the Lord amongst the lost. Lift up his name and the hope of his coming. We must also never fail to talk about the grace and the peace God gives to his own when they are dying. That dying grace. If you're the one over here that's with someone that's had a death, you don't necessarily have that dying grace that they have. They've lost a loved one. They need that dying grace. And we're over here and we don't necessarily have that. We're thinking, oh, I feel so bad for them. I know how much they love them. But the Lord gives them dying grace. The Lord will help us through that hard time. The Lord will help us. Every human being desires to die with peace and a fulfilled purpose. What happens to men when they turn 50 years old? They start looking at their lives and they think, man, what have I done? I haven't done nothing. I haven't done it. I'm sorry, Sharon. I haven't done anything. You know, what have I accomplished? And they go out and dye their hair black, buy a motorcycle. I don't know. It's like they look at their lives and, man, I haven't done anything. And they look at their lives and think, what is the purpose of it all? Where is this all going? And of course, we as Christians, we know where it's all going. And we know what the purpose is, don't we? But as mankind, we can think those things. Do we have peace and the purpose that the Lord provides? We must trust his promises, as Jacob did. We must recognize the presence of the Lord in our lives. Then thirdly, we must receive his peace by faith. By faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith. Hebrews 11, the great chapter of faith. Men and women of faith that lived and did not receive the promise. Didn't receive the promise. They walked by faith. They died by faith. We need to live a life of faith and honor the Lord in that life. Turn with me to your questions now. Hebrews 11:21 emphasizes Jacob's faith at what time of his life? In his death. Very good. Psalm 37:37, what will the end of life be for the upright man? That's correct. Peace. The end of that man is peace. Genesis 47:27-31. Why did Jacob insist that his body not be buried in Egypt? Where do you want to be buried? I'll be buried with my fathers. How did this show his faith in God? Amen. That was a promised land. That was the hope that they were looking forward to. Genesis 48:14-22. Why did Jacob give the first blessing to the younger son? I'm sorry, say that again. Right, because the promise was given that he would be greater. Right, very good. Verse 19. Hebrews 11:21. What was Jacob's attitude toward God as he was dying? He worshipped. Then lastly, Revelation 1:18, which reveals to us we do not have to fear death. Or what truth is given in Revelation 1:18? Christ conquered death. Christ conquered death. He died, he lived, he lives forevermore. And he has the keys to death and hell. Thank you very much for coming. I hope you're finding these to be a blessing. I know I am. If you have any questions, please get with me. Thank you so much for coming.